Numbers 21, and we'll commence reading at verse number 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, "Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread." And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in Oboth, and they journeyed from Oboth and pitched in Aberim in the wilderness, which is before Moab, toward the sun rising. Now, I'll trouble you for a final reference. Most will know the reference before I announce it. John's Gospel, and in chapter 3. John's Gospel, and in chapter 3, please. And verse number 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And we could hardly read those two verses without reading their next door neighbor. Verse number 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the Lord bless to us the reading of the Scriptures. I would think that for most in the gathering this evening, in this gospel meeting, most will be familiar with the narrative which I've read from the book of Numbers. You will notice that it opens with these words in verse number 4, "And they journeyed." That's the reason why I read into verse number 10 and verse number 11, because the journey is continued, and verse number 11 confirms, "And they journeyed." But in between verse 4 and verse number 11, something happens. Something happened on behalf of these people, the Israelites. As a consequence, something happened as a judgment from God. The consequence of that is that Moses goes to God for the people, and he prays for the people, and God steps in to the darkness and despair of these people, the children of Israel, and he provides for them a way of escape, a way of salvation through a serpent lifted upon a pole. Now that's the story, and I'll come back to it in a moment. I don't know about you, but I don't like snakes. I mentioned a gentleman this afternoon in ministry. His name was Peter Orosak. I mentioned he had been a drug addict before the Lord saved him. Mr. Orosak is one of those, and was one of those anomalies. He loved reptiles, and particularly he loved snakes. I was staying with him on one occasion. I was staying in the basement. I come in from visiting. We were having some gospel meetings. I stepped into my bedroom in the basement. It had one of those suspended ceilings, and I noticed there was a ceiling tile missing. So I went back upstairs, and I said to Mr. Orosak, I said, "Pete, did you notice that there's a ceiling tile missing down in my bedroom?" "Yeah," he said, "I know." I said, why? "Well," he said, "one of my snakes has gotten out." He said, "I'm almost sure it's in the ceiling above your bedroom." So he said, what I did was, I took the ceiling tile out, and hopefully sometime tonight, when you're sleeping, the snake will reappear. Well, I didn't mean to be too humorous with that, but I went to bed that night. I checked under the bed. I checked under the pillows. I checked under the comforter. I mean, what you gonna do? You gotta sleep, right? But I did pray before I did sleep that night. As I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Well, I don't like snakes. And the thought of a snake appearing into that bedroom that night just about did it for me, although I did sleep. It must have been quite something here in the book of Numbers. As these people are journeying, we read that they were journeying from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea. They're going to compass the land of Edom. And you will notice this. It says about these people, they speak against God. And they speak against Moses. And they murmured. That's the first thing I want you to notice with me. The sin of the people. Here are a people. God had blessed them with everything. Now you know the story. God had given them health. God had bestowed air which they breathed. God had given them the food which they enjoyed. God gave them the water which they would drink. God would give them the vitality to live those lives before Him. And yet it says in our text tonight that they spake against God. They spake against the Lord. They spake against the Lord's servant. They spake against Moses in spite of everything that God has done for them. Now look across this gathering tonight. I mean, I'm preaching to a gathering tonight, and I am absolutely convinced of the goodness of God to you. You and I know what God has given to us. He's given to us health. He has given to us strength. He gives to us the very fabric of the universe which we enjoy. He has given us food to enjoy. He's given us that which we enjoy to drink. Health and strength. It has all come from God. And maybe I'm speaking to someone in this gospel meeting. And just like these people, you're murmuring. You're speaking against God. And you're speaking against those that God has raised up, the servants of the Lord, the sin of the people, and they journeyed. I think of the book of Isaiah tonight. You will remember Isaiah chapter 1 and what God says there. He says, I've nourished people. He says, I've brought up children. But, he says, they have rebelled against me. I've poured my goodness upon them. I've given everything to them. I've lavished bountifully upon them everything that they enjoy. And still, with a high hand they sin. And still with a high hand they rebel against me. My friend, in this gospel meeting, am I speaking to you in this regard? I'm speaking to young people. I'm speaking to older friends in this gospel meeting. And you know you've sinned against the Lord. You know those sins which have preceded this day. 24 hours have rolled their course from a gospel meeting here last night. You know the sins of those 24 hours. You know the sins of the 24 hours prior to that. You know the sins of last week. You know the sins of last month. And I'm preaching to people here tonight. And for years, you spent years in your sin murmuring against the Lord, speaking against the people of God. And they murmured as they journeyed. The thing that really speaks to my heart is this. With all of that bounty, I mean, the book of Romans tells us that the goodness of God, it leads sinners to repentance. Mind you, I will preach sin, and I will preach eternal judgment, and I will preach the love of God to sinners. But there is one thing above everything else that should melt the heart of sinners. And you say, what's that? It's the goodness of God. How bountifully He has lavished blessings upon us right from the throne of God. You know, these people could look back. Sure, they had physical blessings. Sure, they enjoyed things from God. There was one thing that these people knew above everything else. Do you know what they knew? There was a day in our lives when God delivered my mother. There was a day in the experience of my forefathers. They were in bondage. And God moved into the darkness of their experience. I'm not sure I need this thing anyway. But God moved into the darkness of their experience. And He delivered them from Egypt. And they would look back. There's a grandfather.
God delivered my grandfather. Here are my parents, my father and my mother, and God delivered them from the burden and from the bondage and from the judgment. God has delivered them. And there's maybe someone in this gospel meeting, and you know of which I speak. I can recall my mom. My father used to preach to us, but he never had the impact that my mother had. My mother used to tell us when we were boys how the Lord saved her. She hadn't grown up in the gospel. She didn't know the message which we're preaching tonight, but she started to keep company with my father. And she was going to a series of tent meetings. And everyone was thinking, as they're watching this couple coming in, they looked at my father and the lady who's my mother, and they said, she's keeping him back from trusting the Lord Jesus. What they didn't know was this. My mom would come out after those gospel meetings, and she would say to my father, you know all this? You've been raised with this. You know this from you were a boy, and yet you're still in your sins. And he would take her to a parking lot, and he would open the scriptures to her, and he would read the Bible to her, and he would even pour into her ears gospel truth, trying to help her in her sins. There was a night came in those gospel meetings that Mr. Paisley was preaching. He gave out a hymn at the end of the meeting. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known, or how unworthy as I am, he saved me for his own. But I know whom I have believed. And my mom was standing in that gospel meeting, and she's wondering, how can I be saved? How can I know peace with God? How can I know the burden lifted? How can I know that I'll be right for heaven? How can I know that my sins are taken away? And she was singing, I know whom I have believed. And she said, there it is. If I trust the one who died at Calvary, he will keep everything against that coming day for me. And she trusted the Lord Jesus. She stepped out of the gospel tent. She got into the little car. My father was delayed. He was talking to someone. And she's sitting in the car. He opened the other door of the car, and he stepped in. And my mom looked across to him, and she said, Tom, she said, I got saved in that gospel meeting. And the bottom fell out of his world. He looked across. My mom told me herself, looked across at her. She's sitting in tears. This is a girl that he has brought to the gospel. This is a girl that didn't know the gospel. And now he's looking at someone. Sins are forgiven. She knows joy in her soul. She knows peace with God. Wouldn't you like to know it tonight? These people knew that. They knew. There was a day when my grandfather knew his sins forgiven. There was a day when my mother was redeemed from Egyptian bondage. There was a day when they realized that there was a lamb who was sacrificed for them. And yet here they are, and they murmured. They speak against God, and they speak against Moses, the sin of the people. The second thing, very quickly, you'll notice is this, the sentence which was passed. In the story which we read this, that the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Now you can see the consternation. Maybe 2 million people. They're there in the camp, and suddenly, out of the sand, these snakes start to appear. And the snakes start moving through those tents where the children of Israel were dwelling. And suddenly, one by one, those people begin to be bitten by the snakes. And you can hear the cry in the camp. And people begin to cry out, I've been bitten. And the muscles start to shut down. And suddenly people become aware, I am going to perish. Not just now the sin of the people, but the sentence which is passed. Mind you, there has been a sentence passed, my friend. Listen to what the Bible says now. It is appointed unto man. Hebrews chapter 9. It is appointed unto man once to die. But after this, the judgment. Wherefore, as by one man, Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. In that, all have sinned. Mind you, there has been a sentence passed. You'll see it on that chart behind me. It intersects both of those roads. You'll see the pillar death rising up, and we must all die. That's what the Bible says. We must all needs die, and are as water spilt upon the ground that cannot be gathered up again. I was preaching just recently with Mr. John Procopio. He told me, I mentioned an illustration. I think it was November 22nd, 1963. President Kennedy was shot dead in Texas. Most know the story. Some will have seen the footage, if not the photographs. Mr. Procopio told me, he said, it was one of those days that he will never forget. He came out of school. He said the bus driver, they were about to get onto the school bus. He said the bus driver was sitting in that school bus, holding his head in his hands. He said the bus driver was crying. And as those boys got onto the school bus, they said to him, they said, what's wrong? They called him by his name. What's wrong? And he said to them, boys, haven't you heard? President Kennedy died today. The president was shot dead today in Texas. You know that Lyndon Johnson, Lyndon B. Johnson, is the only president of the United States that was sworn into office on Texan soil. Do you know what President Johnston said? He said, I was ever only a heartbeat from the presidency. He said, I knew it myself. I was ever only a heartbeat from the presidency. But he said, I knew I could never be president until the heart of John Fitzgerald Kennedy stopped beating. You know, I'm preaching to sinners tonight. Do you know what makes this gospel meeting solemn tonight? I'm preaching to sinners, and you're only a heartbeat from eternity. That's why I preach the way I do. I know that someday I will speak to people, and it might be the last time. Might be the last time I speak to young people here tonight. Might be the last time I speak to older friends in this building. And as I'm speaking to you, the sentence is passed, and you are only a heartbeat from eternity. And so we have it, the sin of the people, the sentence which was passed. And so the people come to Moses. As these snakes come through the camp, as people are bitten by the snakes, as people die in the midst of the children of Israel, people are dying now, moving into eternity. And they come to Moses, and they say, Moses, Moses, please do something. Moses, go to the Lord. Pray for us, Moses. And Moses goes to the Lord, and he prays for the people. But that won't take away the difficulty. That won't deal with the problem of people who are perishing. And the Lord says to Moses, Moses, I'll tell you what to do. Make a serpent of brass. Put that serpent upon a pole. Take that serpent into the midst of the camp. And tell those bitten people, whoever lurks, lives. And I can see Moses now. Can't you see Moses? He starts to mold in the desert sand. He takes brass. And on the desert sand, he starts to make a mold. And he pours into that mold brass. And he molds a serpent around a pole. And you say, what's so significant about that? You will notice this. It was a serpent of brass. But you say, it was distinct from the other serpents. Notice that first of all. Each one of those other serpents that moved through the camp had something running through its body, venom. It wasn't found in this serpent. As Moses lifts this serpent up upon a pole, those people know this serpent is different. This serpent doesn't have the bite. This serpent doesn't have the venom. This serpent is different. This serpent is distinct. This serpent is unique. And you say, what are you getting at? You know the one we preach in the gospel, he is not just any man. The one we are preaching is Christ Jesus the Lord. He came from the excellent glory. He came from the blinding glory of another world. And he stepped into our world. He was manifested in the flesh, is what the Bible says. And he is absolutely perfect. Sinlessly perfect. He did no sin. The Bible says, he knew no sin. And the Bible says, in him there is no sin. What is found in me was not found in the Lord Jesus. And I can see Moses lifting this serpent upon a pole. That's the second thing. It had to be lifted up. Didn't you catch it in John 3? Three times in John's Gospel, we read about the Lord Jesus being lifted up. When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He. If I be lifted up from the earth, shall draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. And of course, John 3, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. First of all, no venom in this serpent. Secondly, it's got to be lifted up. And the third thing, it's made of brass. Do you ever ask yourself, why brass? You likely know that brass is the metal that endured the fire. We're being given a picture of the Lord Jesus. You know the story of the cross, how that he's brought from Gethsemane. He's crowned with thorns now. He's standing before man, and there's spittle flowing down his face. You know the teaching of Scripture that the crowd outside were baying to Pilate, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. We do not want this man. Crucify him. And at last we read those words of Scripture, Luke's Gospel chapter 23. They were read last night. Listen to it now. When they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And you folks in this Gospel meeting, you know why he was there, don't you? Everyone here, you know why he was there. Absolutely sinless. Absolutely perfect. Absolutely stainless. The incorruptible Christ. And you say, why was he there? The reason why he was there was this. To go through the awful judgment of God. In the picture here, to go through the fire. And you say, why did he go through the fire? He went through the fire for me. I am so thankful tonight. I look back. I was 16 when the Lord saved me. My wife teases me, you know. She says, you know, John, you can't preach a gospel message without telling them how you got saved. I can. I can still hardly take it in, you know. 16 years of age, going to a series of gospel meetings. I thought to myself, the night came a Monday night. I thought I'll just have to perish and go to hell. That's where I got to. And going through my bedroom door, that wonderful verse came. He was wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquities. The punishment against your peace, it was laid upon him. And with his stripe, you were healed. And on a Monday night in June 1990, I took it in. He died for me. That's why he was there, my friend. He dealt with the awful problem of sin. He was lifted up upon a cross so that your sins could be forgiven, so that we could preach a genuine, bona fide message in the gospel. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but of everlasting life. The serpent on the pole. Just as I conclude tonight, you'll notice the simple plan. Moses does what the Lord tells him. He makes that serpent out of brass. He entwines it around a pole. I see him going into the midst of the camp. Now you've got the story with me. Stay with me in the story. He puts the serpent into the midst of the camp. And I hear him start. And I hear him call, look! Look! Look and live! And you can see a bitten man now, can't you? You see a poor bitten Israelite. Everything's shutting down. And someone comes to him and they say, listen, my man, listen. There's a serpent uplifted on the pole in the midst of the camp. Look, and you'll live. I see him push himself up on that elbow with his remaining strength. I see him take a look through the camp of Israel, and he sees the serpent on the pole. And just as he looks, what happened? He takes a look. And you know what happened. As soon as he looked, he lived. Well, you say, it was the look that saved him. I don't think so. This might just be semantics, so you'll pardon me for this. You say, what was it that saved him? He accepted the word of God. That's what saved him. You know, in this gospel meeting, just as I sit down tonight, if you followed where I've been,
You'll notice this, the sin of the people. The sentence that was passed. The serpent on the pole. The simple plan, look and live. And the wonderful thing is this, we have salvation provided. And there's a man in Jerusalem. He comes to the Lord Jesus. He doesn't know how to be born again. He doesn't know how his sins can be forgiven. And the Lord pours into his heart, listen, Nicodemus, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so also must the Son of Man be lifted up. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know the wonderful thing? The first man that ever heard it just drank it in. I hope you take it as the word of God tonight. I hope you bask in the wonder that God has given his Son who died upon a cross so that our sins could be forgiven. I would tell you tonight, look, you look, and you'll live.